One way to put off a lawsuit? File for bankruptcy. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Far-right radio host Alex Jones was found liable for defamation last year after calling the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings a hoax. Several of his companies have since filed for bankruptcy, but that is not the end of the story. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
Three of Jones's companies have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in southern Texas with estimated liabilities of as much as $10 million each. And this is a way companies have gotten out of paying damages in the past, filing for bankruptcy, then going out of business. Ed Claris, managing partner at Claris Law, says bankruptcy will make it more difficult for the plaintiffs to collect damages.
In this case, the plaintiffs seem to not only have a real grudge against Alex Jones and his companies, but they wanted to get paid by these companies because Jones and InfoWars collected a lot of money during those years that they were making these unfounded statements.
Claris says there's one potential workaround. Jones hasn't personally filed for bankruptcy, which means he may still be liable for the damages, even if his companies are not. As far as what this means for media outlets, Claris worries that this case will hurt the legitimacy of bankruptcy filings for news outlets that produce ethical reporting. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
We consumers changed our behavior during the pandemic. We ate more meals at home. We spent more time streaming shows and movies. And now that we are dealing with inflation, we may be changing our behavior again. We're seeing that in different earnings reports of companies in a range of industries, says Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets. He says we're seeing fewer bank loans and changes in how we spend our money on fun.
Well, I think as we get underway with the latest earnings numbers, for me, I think the key pressure points are likely to come in consumer discretionary. And I think we'll get a first indication of that with the latest numbers from Netflix, which are due out after the bell.
Basically, we're not staying at home all day watching TV, and that might be the first thing to go, you think?
I think that certainly does appear to be the case here in the United Kingdom. There was a piece out in the FT this morning, the Financial Times, that suggested that UK consumers were cutting their streaming services to the tune of 1.5 million subscribers.
You think we're going to see even broader effects of, you know, shifting consumer discretionary spending?
You've only got to look at US mortgage rates. They've already prompted a significant slowdown in housing demand in the first quarter. If the direction of travel continues the way that it has been and the Fed does raise rates, which they're pretty much guaranteed to do, the bigger question is how much buffer U.S. consumers have to a rising cost of living.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Elon Musk may get some help in his bid to take over Twitter. Buyout firm Apollo Global Management is considering joining Musk's effort. Twitter stock is down 1.7%. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has triggered the worst refugee crisis in Europe since World War II. European countries have been united in condemning and sanctioning Russia and also in supporting humanitarian relief efforts. The agencies that are providing humanitarian aid, though, are getting stretched thinner and thinner amid the Ukraine crisis and the many others they are working to alleviate. The BBC's Imogen Folks filed this report for us.
Good morning. Welcome. We are here in Geneva to brief you on the activities of the United Nations
agencies. Twice a week, Geneva aid agencies tell us what's worrying them.
We have quite a few subjects.
On the agenda today, food insecurity in Haiti, violence in Mozambique, the threat of famine in Yemen and Afghanistan. But we journalists are focused on Ukraine. Jan Egeland, now with the Norwegian Refugee Council, knows all too well how one crisis can dominate all the others.
It didn't get better in Afghanistan and Yemen and Syria and the Congo and the Sahel and Venezuela because it got worse in Europe. It got worse in those places. So we feel overstretched, underfunded, overwhelmed like never before.
Yemen is at a risk of the worst famine the world has seen in decades, according to the United Nations.
Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the UN has tried to rally support for other crises. But an emergency appeal for Yemen raised less than a third of what aid agencies asked for, another for Afghanistan, only half. The World Food Programme has already had to cut rations to some of the most hungry people on the planet, prompting its director, David Beasley, to make this impassioned public plea.
Don't ask us to take food from the children of Ethiopia to feed the children of Ukraine. We need to reach all the children everywhere that are on the brink of starvation.
Ukraine actually supplies the World Food Programme with grain. Many African countries rely on grain imports from Ukraine too. If that supply dries up, Jan Egeland fears a race for food in which the poorest will lose.
These African countries now have to go on the international market and bid against Europeans and North Americans and the affluent Asian countries in the search for food. This is really a catastrophe for the poorest.
People across Europe may feel helpless in the face of so many crises, but humanitarian work cannot be selective. Our generosity, Jan Egeland insists, has to be impartial.
That's Imogen Folks with our editorial partner, the BBC. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.